My biggest fear was being alone and being abandoned. The thought that was going on around in the background was, don't abandon me. Don't abandon me. I'm not safe alone. I'm not safe alone. I'm not safe alone. The only reason why we run or avoid or resist our feelings is because of the meaning our mind gives to them. Like, if I feel rejected, that means I am rejected. If I feel like a failure, that means I am a failure. If I feel alone, that means I am alone. Those are meanings. They're not true.
Even in deep friendships and where you feel safe, those things will still come up. As you're working through them and finding your voice, it's normal to feel afraid sometimes to deal with what could potentially be conflict.
As we pull out of that chaos and actually start to face the fear of why we might even chose that in the beginning, what happens is we start to open up. We become more empowered. We become more connected to our true self, our heart. And this starts to open up. And now you can look around and you're like, oh my gosh, possibility, 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 possibility everywhere you look.
Can I ask a deeper question?
Of course.
Is there a pattern or belief that continues to come up?
Welcome to the Fully Expressed podcast.
We're your hosts, Corinna
and Samantha.
And this is the show where we're inviting you into your fullest expression in life, love, and business.
Enjoy. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. We're so excited for you to hear this conversation. Today, we're sitting down with Randy Holloway, a self-leadership and personal power expert, speaker, and coach, and the creator of The Personal Power Way. Randy has been an entrepreneur since 2001, built and sold a thriving business, and has spent years helping women move past their fear, limiting beliefs, and chaos, and into clarity, confidence, and the life that's truly meant for them.
What I love so much about this conversation with Randy is that she really reminds us the importance of really accessing our personal power, unleashing that inner freedom, and that it really always just comes back to self. If we can find that trust within ourselves, everything that you move through will make so much sense. We dove deep into what does it look like to express yourself, not from a place of wanting to be heard and make changes. What does it look like to navigate relationships and express yourself when necessary and not necessary? I mean, we went deep and there's so much for you to tune into.
Hi, Randy.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. We're super excited to have
me.
You. We want to just start by asking, you know, you're a personal empowerment coach. You help women come into their power, their voice, their heart. But obviously that was, you know, probably where you might have started and your journey. So we wanted to hear, like, what was your journey like? What brought you to this place that you went from maybe doing hair to becoming a coach in this field?
Yes, very good question. So I was actually raised by a coach, speaker, author. I started doing hair right out of high school. So I naturally started coaching my clients. I don't know if I realized I was doing that at the time. And then I actually opened my own salon in 2012. Started naturally creating coaching programs for my employees and things like that. And then I was also on my own transformational journey doing coaching myself. And so at some point, I was probably like 4 years into having the salon and about maybe 15 years into doing hair. And I was like, you know, what am I the most passionate about? And though I had been like, you know, building my hair career, helping other people build their career in my salon, I realized I was like the most passionate about helping women learn how to really love themselves, come back to themselves, remember who they were. And so I decided to sell my salon at that time. I actually had a business coach who told me that I was never going to sell it or make any money. I was like, okay, thank you for your feedback. And I just kind of got really clear on, you know, what I had created. I knew it was special. I knew it was magical and what I wanted to pass on. And within about 2 months, I attracted two young women who paid very close to asking. So I sold the salon in 2017. And then at the time, I was actually, I had gotten engaged. So I had a pretty wild year. And September of 2017, I got engaged. I sold my salon in November of 2017. Wow. I decided to get married pretty quickly in March of 18. And then by August of 18, I was we were filing for divorce. So it was a pretty wild year. And that experience is sort of what I would call it cracked me open. I had understood personal development so well intellectually because it had been such a big part of my life. But what I didn't realize at the time is I hadn't really integrated it. I was still running from my fears, running from my feelings, making decisions based on what I thought I needed to have outside of me. And so that was the moment where I was like, okay, I've got a lot of content here to kind of go down the victim path of what happened. It was a pretty wild experience. I was only married for 4 months. And I'm now, you know, in my mid-30s. I'm divorced twice, actually, now at this point. So I'm on the kitchen, literally on the kitchen floor going, how did I get here? Like, I knew better what happened. And so as I started to do more self-reflection, I was like, okay, like, I think this is the opportunity to kind of start taking all the things that had happened in my life and moved on to the side, the people, the experiences, and start looking in the mirror. And that's when I started realizing, like, okay, like, we say yes to things based on how we feel about ourselves. And when I'm looking at what I said yes to, I'm starting to wonder, like, okay, what's going on inside as to why this was my choice? And not that it was a bad thing. You know, we all have these moments, but it was a really beautiful moment of self-reflection for me to be like, okay, this is about now stepping into becoming a victor, about really showing up for me, facing those fears that felt really uncomfortable and scary. And as I started doing that, I actually created a process that really helped with my healing. And now I teach other people how to really understand their trauma, their limitations, their chaotic-based patterning, their fears, how to pull out the meaning from what feels so scary, from what feels so uncomfortable and the feelings that we inevitably have. And what I noticed when I started doing that process for myself and teaching other people is I naturally started coming into this more empowered place, this more what I would call a heart-centered place, the part of me who was like, wait a second, like, I'm actually whole, safe, loved within. I'm actually really powerful. I have the ability to create whatever it is that I wanted. So that's kind of how we got here.
Can I pull a thread? You mentioned that you had all these fears. So I'd love to know, like, what were some of the fears that were playing out, or like beliefs that were playing out?
Yeah.
I guess before the second divorce, like during that season, like what did you notice were the things that you wanted to, or the parts of you that were coming up?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So I had had some abandonment in my childhood, and my biggest fear was being alone and being abandoned. So I didn't fully understand this at the time. I knew I had this at the time and I was aware of it. But what I didn't understand is that the thought that was going on around in the background was, don't abandon me. Don't abandon me. Don't abandon me. Don't abandon me. I'm not safe alone. I'm not safe alone. I'm not safe alone. So, you know, again, we're very powerful. What we focus on expands. And so, and if we don't, if we're not aware of those thoughts that are, you know, kind of playing in the background, we start to create them. So I basically attracted somebody who left very abruptly twice, actually within a three-year process, because we dated for a little while. It happened and then got back together and then it happened again. And so that's when I was like, oh, like, I already knew this was a possibility. I chose this. And this is what I feel like when we get into personal empowerment, it's like, it's this piece around personal responsibility and looking at how did I play a role in this? And so to answer your question, it was this fear of being abandoned. So because I had such a fear of being abandoned, I attracted something that technically I got abandoned, even though it wasn't really personal. And then also this fear of being alone. So I'm sure anyone listening might be able to relate to this feeling. Mm-hmm. As humans, we have it, right? And it's like, well, I'm not going to leave this relationship and then be alone or have to start over. So let me just go ahead and sacrifice myself and do these things so I don't have to feel alone. So that was the fear, which was actually false ultimately, but that's a whole other story.
How did you go to repairing it?
So I started to look at what I now call the ego-based story that was being created around this, which was that I was actually alone in the first place, or that everybody would abandon me. So we all have these underlying what I call ego-based stories. A lot of times people will call them like limiting beliefs. It's the same thing. It's that part of your mind that starts to convince you that something is limited, something is wrong, right? That I'm always, if I've been abandoned before, I'm always going to be abandoned. If I was been rejected before, I'm always going to be rejected. If I feel alone, that means I am alone. And what I started to learn through this process was that I had these beliefs, but they weren't true. They weren't true at all. And that ultimately it was my mind creating these stories, trying to keep me safe. And as I dug deeper, I was like, well, what is it keeping me safe from? And what I realized, it was just feeling the feeling. So as humans, we're natural born feelers, whether we like it or not. Most of us spend our lives running, resisting, avoiding, numbing from our feelings. And I was playing that game too. But when I started to actually slow down, because you got to remember at this point, I had worked, like, I'm 37, I think. I had just worked since I was 13 years old and I'd never stopped. now I've sold my business. I'm starting a new business. So I have all this space. I've got some money in the bank and I've just gone through a divorce. So I finally had time. And I also had this awareness that it's time to slow down internally. And so I started journaling every day, meditating every day, and started to actually sit with the feeling of alone, sit with the feeling of rejected, the feeling of abandoned. And that's when I started realizing, like, okay, well, I'm feeling it and I'm not dying. I'm not blowing up. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
And then, so as like, but when you do that, it actually starts to move through your body. And that's when I started getting on the other side. And like, I kind of go from this place, what I like to say is like, if you're in your ego and you're in limitation, it's like, imagine you've got these hands next to your eyes or this like tunnel vision. And all you can see is these options. So I'm looking like as an example, and someone might relate to this. It's like, well, I'm in this relationship. I thought it was my person. I'm married twice. So it has to be it. This is my option. So mm-hmm. I have to make it work, right? As we pull out of that chaos and actually start to face the fear of why we might even chose that in the beginning, what happens is we start to open up and we become more empowered. We become more connected to our true self, our heart, and this starts to open up. And now you can look around and you're like, oh my gosh, possibility, 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 possibility everywhere you look. And that's when you start to realize like, oh yeah, I have free will. I don't have to make my choices from fear or from protection anymore. I have possibility. And that's really a life-changing piece.
I love that. I would love to take it back for a second. What was it like to be raised by a speaker, author, coach? And was that your mom? I'm assuming that was your mother.
No, it was your dad. Mom?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's my dad. So I didn't have a close relationship with my mom, but my dad and I were very close and he was in this space. And so, you know, it was interesting. There's pros and cons. It's kind of like I wouldn't be who I am today without my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have had these like awarenesses and healing modalities and opportunities to expand and look at the choice to become a victor over a victim. But there's moments where it's kind of like, okay, you kind of go down that path and you're kind of always talking about that. So that had its moments. But I wouldn't change it. I'm so grateful.
He gave you the tools for the toolkit.
Really did. And the support to be able to just feel and have these experiences, not take them away or tell me, don't feel that way or, you know, because he already knew.
Yeah.
I needed to go through what I needed to go through in order to become who I ultimately was going to become. So.
Was he someone that you can go to in like hard times?
Yeah, for sure. And still is. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in those moments it's hard. Even I also had a father that was very present and like really instilled a lot of values and powerful beliefs, positive beliefs. But you still want your mom. Like you still it's interesting how it plays out because you still want that motherly energy to like coexist Absolutely. Within the masculine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was something that was challenging for me to accept. It's taken me years to get to a place. And I think if I had been doing this deeper work earlier, it would have maybe happened faster. That's why I always try to help people now realize like it doesn't have to take as long as it took for me. You don't have to create some of these more intense experiences in order to get it. But what I understand now about my mom is, you know, she did her best.
Yeah.
And her best wasn't great. She wasn't able to be there for me. And that was hard. And partly why I had to then play out some of this abandonment stuff and this feeling of being alone because I just felt alone as a kid. And I know some people can relate to that too. Mm-hmm. Even people who have families, you know, I know there's people who have – maybe they're the middle child or whatever it is for you. And for whatever the reason, you just – people were around but you didn't feel – you felt alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes these things happen ultimately for us to give us an opportunity to look at something deeper with inside ourselves. So – I think now when I look at my childhood, while it's not what I would have wanted to choose for like my children, if that was the path I was going to take, I'm grateful because it truly made me who I am today. And I can finally say that I really like love and respect who I am today. And to me, that's like the truest freedom.
Yeah. All those moments lead you
yeah.
to exactly where you are. You can't, it was all destined.
Absolutely.
Can I ask a deeper question?
Of course.
Is there a pattern or I guess a pattern or belief that continues to come up.
Yeah. So I still have to navigate the main ones for me, which I notice everyone has kind of core ones when I've worked with so many people now, typically around feeling unsafe, feeling not good enough, feeling not loved, rejected, abandoned, shame, alone. And so for me, the core were rejected, abandoned, alone, and disregarded. Like, I don't matter. So there was a moment, I don't even know when it was, like it was years back, where it was a few years maybe after my divorce, my second divorce. And I had this moment of acceptance that like, this wasn't about getting to a place where I didn't have any trauma anymore. It was about actually just learning how to love myself today. And because I think at some point, you know, when we do this deeper work, sometimes we start to realize what our beliefs are, what our trauma is, what our issues are. And then it's like, well, when is it going to be over? And it's like, well, I don't know.
Never.
Maybe never, you know. And then I started realizing like, oh, it's not really about that. That's still the mind trying to get me somewhere. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, our truest power and our truest freedom is actually in this present moment. All the things that we're looking for can only exist in this moment. And so I still have to navigate those. However, I will say I was just doing some reflection on this the last couple of days. I was joking to myself even this weekend. I'm kind of in my solo/date myself era where, you know, this weekend I took myself on 2 solo dates because I wanted to, because I really was choosing to do. And so while I still have to manage those, like, because I've just done so much work on accepting it, letting it be, accepting it, loving myself through it, allowing it, what's funny is it doesn't feel as prevalent anymore. So yeah, I might get a tinge if someone doesn't want to whatever respond or whatever it is, but then I'm like, oh, okay. Release them. If someone's falling, I trust they're falling for a reason. So it doesn't feel like this, oh my gosh, I'm being abandoned. Oh my gosh, I'm alone anymore. And so that's the cool part about when you really do what I would call accept this work as a lifestyle, not something you do for 6 months or 6 years. It all just ends up becoming lighter, if that makes sense.
I love that you started to put kind of experience to like what it feels like to be abandoned, because I think in someone's experience, even our own, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I feel like I have to hold on and reach on, and I'm so scared that they're going to leave me. And it does create this huge internal process for people. But it, like, it sounds like what you're saying, that it is possible for you to feel that maybe for a blip, but it doesn't consume you.
Absolutely. And it's like a really beautiful thing, because yeah, there were moments when it would be almost debilitating. And I know there's people out there that can relate to that, whether it's abandonment or rejection or alone or failure, where it just feels like it's like consuming you. And I'm absolutely here to say that you can heal that.
Yeah.
You can soften it. And a lot of it comes down to, it's a free will choice about how much meaning we give it. So the only reason why we run or avoid or resist our feelings is because of the meaning our mind gives to them. Again, if I'm rejected, that means I am. Like, if I feel rejected, that means I am rejected. If I feel like a failure, that means I am a failure. If I feel alone, that means I am alone. Those are meanings. They're not true.
Right.
And so when you start to understand that and you pull out and it's like, okay, like, you know, someone didn't call me back, or they didn't want to work with me, or they didn't want to date me, or they didn't want to be my friend, whatever the case may be, right? It's like, okay, that felt uncomfortable, which I think it probably would for any human to some level. But it's like, oh, I can either make it mean that they hate me, and that means everyone hates me. Now I'm going down a real tunnel, right? Or I can make it mean that, you know, they just weren't available. It wasn't a match. It wasn't personal. And now there's space for someone else. And so now I'm back in my power. And because it didn't really mean that much, and I can move on.
What about speaking your truth in those spaces? Because I also think, as someone who's like a people pleaser, like, I can definitely make meaning of situations or hold on, like, think, oh, I should have done this differently, especially because my tendency is to always want to make other people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And so I've been practicing, if something feels weird in my gut, speaking it out, even if that feels uncomfortable, because it's hard, you know, the part of me that just wants to stay quiet and be like, it's okay, I'll just process this myself. Like, but at the same time, I'm making assumptions of, one, how they'll respond, or what they're feeling and thinking. And so my new, like, desire for myself is in those moments to speak it out, to that person, even if it feels edgy. So I'm curious, like, what does that look like for you and your clients? Is that something you encourage? Is that a place you've had to, like, is that something you've also had to do?
Absolutely. Yes. So I 100% believe in speaking your truth and saying what feels good to you. What I have learned on my journey is to always check my come from. So I've had moments where I'm like, I'm just going to say how I feel. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You hurt my feelings. And that didn't work for me. And you need to know it, right? And I've had many of those moments where maybe in the moment it felt liberating. Mm-hmm. And it was what I felt. And it was okay to say it. And then sometimes there's a consequence because that person now gets triggered and then they have something to say and then they're going to say their piece, right? So I don't think there's a right or a wrong. But what I've learned is slower is faster. So what my commitment now is to myself is coming from a regulated nervous system, which is something we can dive into as to why I believe that's so important. And so let's say you said something to me that triggered me, mm-hmm. and I start to feel a type of way and I want to say something. What I'm probably going to do first is take some deep breaths. I'm going to check in with myself and first see, did I take it personal? Am I making a meaning of it? Am I triggered because you brought up something from my past? And I'm going to manage that first. Mm-hmm. I'm going to then get back into my power. And then I'm going to decide if I actually want to say something to you. Mm-hmm. Because at that point, maybe I don't. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe I know that you were having a bad day. Now that I've gotten back in my power, I've worked through my part, I'm noticing you're having a bad day. And I'm like, I'm going to give her some grace. Right? Or maybe it doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. Or it does still matter and I want to say something, but now I'm actually saying it from true power, compassion, and love, mm-hmm. which, by the way, is how you actually ever have a chance of really getting through to someone anyway. Mm-hmm. The other piece I'll say is sometimes when we're speaking our truth, we're doing it because I need you to hear me. That can get us snagged. So if you're speaking your truth, ideally you're doing it because I'm speaking this for me. And however you respond, you also have space to respond however you respond, and then we continue to navigate that. But I think where people get a little snag sometimes in speaking up is that I'm going to speak up and you're going to hear me and mm-hmm. you're going to acknowledge me and this is what's going to happen. And not everyone's up for that.
Yeah.
Especially if maybe you're coming from a little bit of a charged place. So I think it can be nuanced. I don't think there's a right or a wrong. I think even if you had a moment and you spoke out loud and someone reacted, then that's going to end up being what it's going to be. But my practice is like, how can I just own myself first and then decide if I want to say something? And then if I do, really say it from my power. Because mm-hmm. I've noticed, especially like with any of my relationships, but especially with men, I don't know if you ladies have noticed this, it's your come from. That's going to determine how that other person, especially like if you're doing like polarity and it's like a masculine feminine thing, how they're going to be able to receive you. Mm-hmm. And I found that it's night and day. So that's what I practice and that's what I empower my clients to practice as well.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm giggling a little because I saw this post. It was like how women like check men subconsciously sort of. But one of the ones was when a man gets angry at me or like gets triggered by me, I say to him, I'm sorry I made you so emotional. I was like, that's so good. I'm going to use that. I like that. But yeah, no, it's so true. And I think for me in my particular situation, like I always try to come from a place of love and truth. But I think it's also in doing that, me being okay with whatever the response is, which absolutely. Sometimes is the hardest part of actually speaking into what you want to say, because you have to be okay holding whatever they respond with. And the unknown if they don't respond.
I think it's even further than that. It's like, what are you like kind of back what you were saying? Like, am I saying this that you hear me, you take action? Because I think mm-hmm. a lot of people in relationship or anytime, like they're expecting, like, if I say this, you're going to change mm-hmm. or you're going to do the thing that I want you to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that if you can pick up on that energy behind your words, like I'm saying this so that you listen to me and you do exactly what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's you controlling the other person versus expressing yourself from just like, hey, this is how I feel. This is what's being present. And this is my ask. You can't expect anyone to respond the way that you want them to respond. But then also you can't expect them to take action in the way that you are asking them to take action.
Yeah.
And that can be, you know, there's two sides to it. Right. And I think people get, you have to check yourself. Like, where is this coming from? Which I love that. That's what you said, because ultimately that's what should move you. And to like double down what you said too was you don't always have to say something.
No,
that's sure. something that we've navigated recently in relationships too. It's like, there's no point saying this right
Sometimes
now.
There isn't.
Yeah. And that's okay too, but that's really hard when you navigate the world of, I think when you're early on in your people pleasing stages and you haven't used your voice, you kind of hold on to this like thing that I have to say everything because I haven't said anything for years. So now's my time to like learn how to express myself. Yeah. And then you create around the story around like, this is what I meant to do. And yes, I think you need that for a season, but ultimately you get to this place where not everything needs to be said out loud.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And you also discern what is meant to be said out loud. And you do have permission to do both. It doesn't have to be one way or the other way.
There's a really beautiful piece to this around when you learn how to actually show up for yourself and hear and listen to yourself, everything changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's part of the practice, right? Is like coming back to like, if I'm hearing me and I'm validating me and I'm listening to me and I'm honoring and loving me, that I don't need you to do it. Now, if you're never going to listen to me and you're going to be disrespectful to me and you're not going to honor me, then I'm probably not going to be friends with you.
And it's just as easy as like, okay, I'm going to let you
and
go.
And that's okay. But that's because that's a self-love choice, right? Versus people are like, well, you're my sister, so we have to be friends forever. Or you have to be in my life forever. And it's like, not really. We all have choice here as to what we say yes to. Like I said kind of earlier, like we say yes to things based on how we feel about ourselves. So the more you love yourself, honor, like show up for yourself, what happens is either the chaotic stuff just doesn't show up anymore because you're not into it. Or if it does, you're just like, oh, well, no, thank you. And then you just keep moving on because you've got you. So people pleasing comes from like basically the opposite of that. I'm not feeling whole. So I need you to validate me. Mm-hmm. And as long as we're looking outward, it's ego-based and we're going to always be looking outward. This is why we get exhausted because I'm always looking outward for something else. It will never be enough. Like even if I said to you, like, I think you're amazing. I love you. I hear everything you said. You know, if it's coming more from your ego and you're looking for me to fulfill you, it's never going to be enough.
Right.
Until we fully do it to ourselves. And then when we get it from someone else, it can be just what they call, you know, the extra.
Yeah.
And you can actually just receive it and it can be enough. So
there's so much there in so many good ways.
I know. Yeah, I think for me personally, I'm not the place I struggle the most is not in, and I think Corinne and I have spoken about this before, like being received the way we're intending. Really for me in friendship. Like, but I've learned that when I'm communicating something, if I'm feeling something in my gut and I'm like, you know, I really want to share this, you know, it's from a place of love. It's not because I'm never angry at my friends, but I think it's, I try to always say like, this is what's coming up for me, but maybe this isn't your experience. Like, what are you experiencing in this? And if you're not experiencing this, I'd love to hear what you think of this because this is coming up for me. And I think that's been a huge journey because before it would be just saying nothing and self-processing.
Yeah.
But then it's never fully self-processed because you're holding, it comes up again or it like shows up in cycles. And in other forms, like past wounding comes back up.
Absolutely.
Whether it's friendships, relationships, partnerships, whatever it is.
I think how you know you have a real friendship, real relationship, real connection is when there is safety to bring something to the table and trust that you're both going to do it with love and compassion and respect. Mm. I have some really beautiful friendships like that where, you know, we get to just be ourselves. We get to say how we feel. It's very healing. Life-changing from like earlier experiences that I had, but not I've also learned that not everyone's up for that.
Do you think you going into the depths of yourself allowed you to attract those type of people like you learning that it's okay to express those things?
Well, it's like me learning it's okay to express, but me also learning that like I was worthy of someone who it's interesting. So we say we want to be heard, and so we chase all the people who can't hear us. Mm-hmm. Why do you think we do that? It's because we don't actually feel worthy of being heard. So again, it comes back to the more that I hear myself and I remember like I'm already worthy, which means now I get to attract someone in my life who reflects that back, the worth of like just showing up.
It feels easy. I just want to say that too. Like I've been in that where I've like, wow, this friendship is just so easy. And it doesn't make them easy. Like, it doesn't mean that they're people pleasing or that I'm people pleasing or that we're giving parts of ourselves up in the relationship. It's just easy.
Yeah.
Like, there's wholeness mm-hmm. in each person, and then there's wholeness in the relationship. And yeah, it's just one of those blessings.
It really is beautiful. And I think, too, you both also get to be imperfect and have those moments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more I love myself, the more I can love you through your mm-hmm. hard moments. And like, because I'm not loving myself now because I'm perfect. I'm loving myself in my imperfections, right? Which mm-hmm. means now we like get to come to the table. It's like, I'm having a moment. And either you're going to hold for me and I'm going to hold for you, or we're having a conflict. And it's like, hey, can we bring this up? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do if there's something that's rising with a friendship is I'll 100% work through my stuff first. Of like, what have I taken personally? Where can I give this person more grace? Have I given it meanings, all that? And then I'll ask for a sign. I'll say, can you give me an opportunity if it's the right time to bring this up? Mm. And sure is every time it presents. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I actually get the opposite. I actually had something recently with somebody where I was having some stuff come up, a conversation needed to happen, and we were getting together, and right before I was like feeling it in my body and I was like working through, and I was like, please show me a sign. Turned around, she was there, and basically she was like, I'm not feeling well. Mm. And I'm sorry. And I'm like, today's not the day. Full compassion. She gets full compassion. Mm-hmm. Right? And that conversation will come up when it's time, because like it's a sisterhood. Like, I know we're gonna talk about it when it's time, right? But maybe 5-10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have been able to do that, because I was like, no, I feel a type of way and you need to know, and this and that, you know. And so
I'm gonna tell you right now,
it's a balance. And then again, it's like, where is that coming from? Mm-hmm. Is it just so you can be heard and get your thing out? Like, and then at what cost? Mm-hmm. Is that person receptive? That's another thing that I always ask too. Like, if I'm bringing something up to anyone, my question is this person receptive? And sometimes I won't ask. I'll say, hey, something's coming up for me. I'm mm-hmm. curious. Like, are you feeling open and receptive mm-hmm. to a conversation? If they say no, that is not the right time to talk.
Yeah.
Right? So that's also something that's been really helpful.
The other thing that comes up is like, you also have to check yourself that you're not saying something because you're worried about what the person's going to say.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we can talk ourselves out of conversations with people because you're like, I don't trust that they can handle this. Mm. So I think there's a balance in that too.
For sure.
Like, are you avoiding a conversation to like not say anything?
Yes.
And so you got to get really, really curious, like what's really coming up for you. It's not always like, I just want to be heard. It could be like, I do want to be heard, but I'm also just so much more scared about how this person is going to respond. Am I going to lose this person in my life?
Yeah.
And I think if you're feeling that way, then there needs to be a conversation anyways, because the relationship doesn't feel safe for some reason, whether it's with yourself or together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that goes back to like the piece around coming back to self. Like if you're feeling uncomfortable to speak truth, but you come back to self and you're like, wait a second, I'm already whole, safe, loved within no matter who's in my life. Then I can like, you know, then I can work through that and be like, okay, like I'm going to say this with love. And if you tell me you do not want to be friends with me anymore because I'm speaking from love, mm-hmm. then I have to trust that's not the right relationship for me. And I'm not suggesting that any of this is easy, but it's just more honoring of self and it creates more flow. And then that's how you're going to know the people who are really meant to be in your life and who are really your real people.
Yeah, and I think going back to what you said about desiring to be seen, those are the moments and those are the people that actually see you, you know, in the discomfort. And like, I just want to say too, you know, we have that type of friendship and still I could definitely make meaning sometimes if I'm processing something of like, well, she might react this way if I say this, or she feels this way. And I have to check myself and be like, no, that's my projection. Let me ask her or let me talk to her, you know, and because we have that safety, we can. But it is, I just hope people know too, even in depth and deep friendships and where you feel safe, those things will still come up. Like I think as you're working through them and finding your voice, it's normal to feel afraid sometimes to deal with what could potentially be conflict.
I don't know if conflict ever feels comfortable.
No.
Right? But that's why they say you grow the most through the uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So it's like, again, changing your relationship to the uncomfortable will change your relationship to everything else outside of you. And to your point, the friend that I was just giving an example to, but I've been friends with for years and years and years, and I still had a meaning that I was given to something, so I had to check it. Mm-hmm. But that's just human, and that's just relationships. That's what our mind does. It creates this meaning because it starts to take it personal. Again, it's not a bad thing. Like I teach a lot about the ego and understanding these things and understanding our emotions. But what I always like to make clear is it's not about the ego being bad or going away or the feelings being bad or going away. This is the human experience, right? We're on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. This is a 3D dimension. This is not really necessarily going anywhere. So that's why it's like, what if it was just your friend? What if your ego is your friend? But instead of it dragging you through the mud, doing what it thinks it's doing to protect you, you were the leader from your heart and your power. What if your feelings were your friend? But instead of giving it all the meaning and giving it your power and let it take you on this ride, you were the leader and was just like, hey, I hear you. I see you. I feel you. Yes, this isn't comfortable, but like I'm just going to be here. I'm going to allow you to move through without any meaning. Mm. Now you're free. So going back to the whole piece around empowerment and being in our power, that's the simplicity of it. There's not really a workaround to get to your true power without like going through uncomfort, going through your feelings and being in the present moment. But remember, the mind doesn't want you to be in the present moment because it'd be like out of a job. It can't be there. And you have to feel uncomfortable. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable in the present moment.
It's such a conundrum. Like people want depth so badly. They want to be seen, but it does require you to be completely vulnerable.
Yeah, and if you were able to change your relationship with vulnerability and your relationship with uncomfort, you would probably experience your life in a way you didn't even know was possible. Because again, all the things that you're searching for in your job, your career, your purpose, your finances, your relationships, your body, your success, whatever it is, it's all a feeling you're looking for, all of it. But here's the thing. The feeling already exists within inside of you. Mm-hmm. So what if you could access the thing that you've been wanting, desiring for so long today, right now, in this moment? That's true self-empowerment. You're no longer a puppet on anyone else's string. You're no longer waiting for, oh, I could just get to here, get A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I. Nope, today, in this moment. And then remember, it's all reflection. So if I'm already in that place, owning the abundance, the love, the whatever it is I'm looking for, it just by universal law, it starts to come. But not come in the sense that I need it to survive anymore. Come in the sense that like I'm already here. I'm already doing good. So if you want to come play and do this with me, yay. And if not, okay. Cause I've already, you know, got this going on. So it sounds really simple. And I always say from the divine's perspective, this is very simple. It's the ego and all of our stuff as humans that make it complex, which is, you know, what we came here to do.
Yeah, God's like, get it together down there.
Yeah, but I mean, to what you said, it's what you're talking to sounds simple. Yeah. But it's not so simple. Yeah. You know, we have so many competing beliefs and limiting beliefs. And I think the competing beliefs are the hardest part when you start really opening up yourself, because you're like, wait, I have this belief and I have this belief happening at the same time. Which one do I want to listen to? And ultimately it comes back to what you said. We have free will.
Yeah.
And we have choice. And we get to choose what belief we want to believe and the story that we want to tell around the belief.
Yes. It's, and again, I'm going to like probably oversimplify it again, because it ultimately is when we're in our ego and we're in protection, it's all the meanings are happening, which is why it's hard. The second, even if it's for a second, you come back to your power and you remember that none of the feelings, none of the stories, none of it had any meaning, that is the simple moment. That's a simple moment of you remembering like, oh my gosh, like I am powerful beyond measure. And so the idea here is how can I be in that space in more moments than not? And that's what I do. I help people learn how to understand this is even happening, because a lot of people don't yet. And then live over here in the power space, where it is simple, in more moments, as many moments as possible.
Totally.
Yeah.
I guess I want to ask you, has there been, or are you feeling called to speak your truth or be more fully expressed in life, love, or business right now?
That's a good question. I would say yes. I feel like I kind of always am, and I get these opportunities to do it. But I also, I'm at a place where I'm just sort of like, I trust what feels inspired. So is there more for me to share in the world about my work? Yes. Well, is that coming? Absolutely. And I trust it happens when it's inspired to happen. You know, I've just learned that, you know, you're either creating from more of a forced place or an inspired place. And anytime I go forced and it's like, I have something to say, I'm doing it now and I'm making this happen, whether it's to a person or a situation or a business thing, doesn't really end as fun as maybe we initially thought. So yes, and I'm always now checking in on like inspiration. Like, is it that time to now sit down with my friend and have that conversation? Is it time to sit down and tell that person that I'm dating how I really feel about this or that? Is it time to step out and say more about what I'm doing in my work? I think it ebbs and flows into like where I'm feeling inspired and checking in with self on when and where that's going to happen.
What does inspired mean to you?
Inspired to me would feel like a pull, like a yes, like it's time. What happens for me is, so like I'm starting to write my book right now. It comes in these waves. So I'll have an inspired moment. It's just like, okay, time to go sit and dump, right? And then there's times where it's not. I could try to think about it. And it's not that I'm not smart, I don't have the information inside of me, but the inspired moment is not there. So I have to just trust and let it be. When my channel, as I call it, started opening up years ago and I started to get more inspiration and more channeling moments come in, it was like one of the most beautiful things I'd ever experienced. I was writing programs, I was doing speaking, I was doing all these things, but then it would sort of close. And then it would open and it would close. And I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this as a creator, intuitive, that can feel really scary at the beginning because when it closes, it feels like it's closing forever. Mm-hmm. But what I've learned over time is it's not actually closing. It's just like taking a beat because it needs to recalibrate or it's just not the right time, you know. But then the mind's like, but wait, I'm this. I'm a creator. I'm a visionary. I'm intuitive. I should be. And it's like, no. It's just slow it down. Again, slower is faster. Allow it to take its course. And when you get more tuned to this, like you just know. You know, mm-hmm. because it just starts coming out too, right? Like naturally. Yeah. So that's what I would say to that.
Is there a part of yourself or something within yourself that you're still learning to let people see?
That's a really good question. No one's ever asked me that before. I would say yeah. Probably just whatever the other imperfections are. I think if I'm in like a really safe space, it's easy. For the most part, I'm very like me, I'm who I am. But I think that there's still a journey on the parts of me that are still in their process, in their work in process of just like fully having that out there for sure. Mm. Yeah.
I love that. What does that look like when you're around, when you're not with people you trust? Like, how does that, what comes up for you?
In regards to like not showing a part of myself?
Yeah, like, do you feel like you put on like a version of you? Like, you're not, you put on like a certain, I don't want to call it a mask, but like you show up differently. You show up as a different version of you.
So I'm very like highly, highly sensitive and I'm like very vulnerable and very open. So it wouldn't be that. It would more be me shutting down.
Mm-hmm. Like you just get quiet.
Yeah. And sometimes I have to like tell the whatever I have to remove myself from the situation based on whatever I might be feeling. And I've actually noticed this more because it's funny, in my younger years, I would have 100, I'm a Leo, I'm like a full Leo, like all the things, right? I was at the bars, making friends with everyone in the bathroom, friends with everyone, everywhere I went, any line, very extroverted. And I still have those moments, but I notice now it's shifting where I find myself more like wanting just quiet and inward time and like people that just feel like really familiar. And then there's times where I'm like, okay, it's time to go out and I'll do my thing and I'll be shiny and talking and whatever. But it's actually, I'm in like an interesting shift around that over the last couple years, like where I'm like, am I an extrovert still? It's like different. I feel like I'm like in like a full like transformation around that. So yeah, I wouldn't be necessarily trying to be other than I am, but I probably would be more quiet or excuse myself if something was coming up or maybe just say like, hey, I'm not, feeling well or whatever that is, and just try to be as honest as I can.
Yeah.
But I also think it's an interesting one, going back to this conversation about being heard. It's like, if we're in a situation together and all of a sudden I'm triggered or I have something going on or whatever, I think it's still a moment-to-moment choice on whether or not it's appropriate for me to share all of that.
Right.
You know, I think there's a conversation about this even like online. You know, there's a thing around, okay, get online and just fully, fully let everything be seen. And obviously there's people out there who do that. And I think if that's really what you're inspired to do, you should do it. But I also feel like sometimes it's just not necessary for everyone to see every nook and cranny of every emotion that you have or thing you're going through. So I think it comes back to like the self-trust piece and like, is this something I want to push myself or like expand myself in, or is it okay to take some like time to cocoon or keep this to myself or whatever it is? So
yeah.
I think it depends so much on what you're integrating in that season.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think we have choice in that, what you're saying. It's so funny to follow the trends on social media and you're like, this is what I should be doing.
I know.
Yeah.
but I think you just have to check yourself, like, why do I feel called to do this? And asking yourself the deeper question around that.
Then it kind of takes me back to the inspiration versus forced action. So I've done the whole, everyone's telling me this is what I have to do on Instagram or the way that I market my business. And I learned a while back, like, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I feel inspired to do.
Yeah.
And so and that's basically it. it doesn't mean that I'm not going to push myself or be out of comfort, because like, for instance, I did a huge event 2024, October of 2024. My first in-person full-day women's event. I was the main speaker. I mean, I was scared, very scared. But the inspiration was like my whole body was like pulling me. I was writing the content. It was just like, it just was happening. Like I couldn't not do it.
Yeah.
Was I scared? Yes, but I did it anyway. And so that's kind of my, I guess, example of like inspired action, when you can still feel scared and uncomfortable versus like forced action of like, well, my coach or my mentor or, you know, whoever on Instagram is saying that this is the way to do it, so I have to do, even though my whole nervous system is like fighting it and doesn't feel good. Like that's not really something that I feel.
Well, it's like about. You said, you had a coach that told you you wouldn't make any money selling your salon, and then of course you did.
So. Yeah, she felt really confident about that too. So
another opportunity to feel your power, really, to put you in your power, to believe your own truth.
It was an opportunity for me to say like, okay, I get that's how she feels, but that's not how I feel. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do what feels right to me.
Yeah.
And I still do that. I still have mentors. I had a mentor the other day tell me something. And I was like, I could pull out the thread of what she was trying to help me see about myself. But I still was like, no, that still doesn't feel right to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I 100% believe in mentors, coaches, therapy, all the things. I don't think we're meant to do this alone. And so obviously this is the work that I do, and I practice what I preach. So everything I teach, I practice, and then I also have mentors too. But at the end of the day, what I'm trying to help my clients come back to is not to just rely on me for the answers, is come back to self.
Yeah.
Because that's really our greatest asset, is our intuition. And we have to like practice it and test it and use it in order to like start to trust it. But when you do start to trust it, I don't even know if I have like the full words for what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's like, you know, we talk a lot about financial freedom and physical freedom and all these different types of freedoms. But to me, this type of inner freedom is like nothing can touch it,
because
it can never be taken away from you. That's why I'm so passionate about what I teach, is because when you get to this place where it's like, you know who you really are and you're truly your own best friend and you trust yourself, like no one can take that away. It's not going anywhere. And talk about true freedom and true empowerment.
Is there one thing, or is there a practice that you do, or like a daily action that you take that helps you strengthen that inner intuition?
Yes. So I journal every day, and that is a deeper practice that I teach. But basically, I'm taking time to really check in with myself. Like, how are you feeling actually? What do you need? What do you need to own? What do you need to like reflect on? And working through that, I'm meditating. I'm like kind of working through whatever might have gotten stuck in my body. releasing anything. I'm an empath, so I'm sure a lot of your listeners are empaths as well, yeah. Right? In my 20s, I thought it was a curse. Now I fully understand it's a full gift. You just need to learn how to manage it, mm-hmm. because we're not responsible to take on other people's stuff. So I clear my system of what I've inevitably taken on, especially with the work that I do, but even just being in the world. And the world is worlding big time right now, right?
Yeah.
So it's a really good practice to have. And so I work through that. And I set an intention for my day of how I want to be present in my body, connected to my heart and my power in as many moments as possible. So that's like a quick run through of like a practice I do every day. And then throughout the day, I'm checking in, I'm breathing. And I'm, especially when it's decision-making time, I'm slowing it down. I'm learning more about human design. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but I'm sacral authority. And so it's finally clicking in this whole time. I'm like, it's like wired in me that like my body knows it's a yes or a no. Mm-hmm. But because my ego always wanted to move really fast because I had somewhere to be, I always had, you know, things to accomplish. I needed to rush through the decision, and then I would rush through it and I'd be like, shoot, maybe it wasn't the best choice. So now my practice is to slow it down and to really kind of check
the gut.
And sometimes I'll have a list, and I just happened today, like there's like small things I'll have, and I'm like, I need to decide on this thing, and I'll just keep it on the list. And then finally the space will open up and I'm like, oh yeah, that's the answer. But like 3 days ago, I could not come up with the answer because it wasn't time. So mm-hmm. it's like, I'm just practicing it as I go. And try to like keep all of this light too, and kind of laugh at it of like, okay, you're doing your best, and your best is enough. And it's all working out the way it's supposed to anyway. There's not really a right or wrong. So, yeah.
So true.
So good.
Yeah. So the final question we love to ask every guest that comes on the show is, where in your life do you feel you want to be more fully expressed? It could be life, relationships, or business.
I think relationship has been my greatest teacher. And that's partly what my book is going to be about. It's about all my relationships and like what I've learned from them. Mm. So that area will be a continual area that I will continue to use to help me continue to express. And I think there is something coming more with my work as well. Having to do with having a bigger voice, and sharing what it is I feel like I came here to share. But I'm one of those, I think we kind of touched on this at the beginning, where it's like I learn it first. I get in the trenches and do the thing. I learn it and then I teach about it. I get in the trenches, learn it, and then I teach about it. So, yeah.
How do you know that you want to have a bigger voice? Like, what does that feel like to you?
How I know anything is based on how I feel in my body, basing it off desire, off, you know, your body will never lie to you. Mm-hmm. It literally is constantly talking to you. It's just whether we're like connected enough to it or slowing down enough to listen to it. So again, it comes back to the inspiration. It's partly why, like, I think my book is starting to come through, and I know like a podcast will be happening. But again, I don't feel like I'm in like a rush for it. I'm like trusting the process of it. But how I know is because I'm starting to get the inspiration that there's more to say and more people that maybe want to listen. Mm-hmm. But not from a like, I need you to listen and I need to do it because I have to make money or because I have to like get this, whatever. It's more from like, okay, this is the time to share it. And then just trusting that process, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah,
I love that.
I ask because I'm sure there's a lot of people here that want bigger voices.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think part of it is trusting the timeline too. You know, sometimes it's like, well, I see so-and-so doing it, and why can't I get to where they're at? And maybe you will. It might just be a timing thing, but it's like trusting where you're at on your journey in your season. And I think the more I've embraced that, the more you actually become ready for what it is you really desire. Like, people will ask me like, oh, do you miss the salon? Do you miss doing hair? You know, is it scary to speak in front of people? I had a conversation with someone about that the other day, and I'm like, yeah, it is. It is scary. The first like 5 minutes I'm having an experience. But then after I drop in, I could stay up there for days. Mm-hmm. It's clear to me now that all of my years doing hair and all my years having the salon and running events and teaching and doing all those things was preparing me for what I do now. If I was 21 and all of a sudden doing what I do now, I don't know, my nervous system wasn't ready for that yet. So it's like trusting the process that we're like exactly where we're supposed to be, even though the mind might be trying to convince you otherwise. like how you know where you're supposed to be is because that's where you are. If you can trust that process, you know, you're really going to fly. And then also caveat, if you don't like where you are, you don't like your reality, just remember you have free will to make a different choice anytime you want.
So true.
Well, with that, that was a really good ending.
We will hold the vision for your bigger voice, your bigger platform.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Such a fun conversation.
Yeah.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in yourself on your journey to becoming more fully expressed. Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. We'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create better content that actually serves you. This week, we invite you to show up even more as you, more honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.